I find it very easy to write my word up. But to give it a title? Anyway, let's pray, shall we? Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. We ask you, Father, that you would just come. Lord, let your breath breathe upon us this morning. Raise us up. Cause revival to break out in our hearts. Cause our hearts to burn again within us as we hear your word. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, anything wonderful and beautifully made is usually made by, yes, first God, but I'm talking about natural things. It's usually like a statue or whatever. It's out of man's concept of his mind. It comes from his heart. It comes out of his thoughts. He speaks it. He builds it. He forms it. He shapes it and he fashions it. Anything beautiful. And God did that with man. He saw, he spoke, he made the earth, he made the trees, he made the herbs, he made all the animals. But there was only one thing he did that he touched, which was man. He formed man. Amen. He formed man. So therefore, because he formed him, he molded him into shape. And you know, that's the job of a mum and a dad, is to form and shape. The greatest gift that man or parents have ever been given, it's not your house, it's not your money, it's not your holidays, it's not your car. It's the greatest gift that God's ever given anyone, which is your children. But with being given children, there's a responsibility with children. Can a parent say amen to that? I remember my daughter just rang me up last week, and she'll probably be watching this, so it's all right. She goes, "It's really hard work." I said, "Welcome to being a parent." I says, "And it doesn't stop. It never stops. I don't care how old they get, it doesn't stop." Can I hear an amen to that? You think it stops. You just got to present it in a different way, hoping they catch what you're trying to throw out there. Hopefully they catch it. But if they don't, I keep loving on them. And as they get older, I just pray for them. When they're young, I keep loving on them and I show them the way. While they're young, you do that. But as they get older, a lot of times your direction as a parent comes from your knees in prayer. Amen. Especially as they get a bit older. So God's mindset, he created, he touched, he formed. Amen. The Lord did that to show his love. The man was the apple of his eye. The man was everything. It was his emphasis of love. He created him out of a desire to love. Amen. And so when God brings correction, we bring correction to our child, it's an act of what? It's an act of love. It's still an act of love. It's just love in a different way. Most children don't see that love in a different way. They see, "I don't like you," or whatever they're saying to you. But love is just in a different way. When you place the hand of love on the seat of correction, it usually brings a bit of pain. But it hurts me as much as it hurt them. I remember my kids, when they realized they were going to get the stick. I used to use a spatula, actually. I break too many sticks. I used to use a spatula, nice and flexible. And I'd say to Kenny, "Right, in your room, go and get me the stick." Me just saying that to Kenny, there was this torrent of tears. I haven't even touched him. But there was this, you know, we say, the Bible says, "Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water." I mean, there was rivers towards his bedroom. Christina was smart. She'd run ahead first. And she would pad herself. she would put on 2 or 3 pants and books, magazines, and she'd walk around like this. She's had a bum explosion, and she's ready. And so I'd smack her legs and said, but we do that not because we want to hurt them. We do that because we love them. And the reality is with God, he chastens those whom he loves. And so we reflect that. He who spares the rod spoils the child. That's what the Bible says. All right? I'm getting a little bit off track here. When she was over here last, Mum, her Shy's Nana, Shy was putting things down the gully of the outside of the sink, you know where the drain goes? He's filling up the gully. And I said to Dylan, my son-in-law, if he blocks it, you're going to have to pay for the plumber. And he looks at me, and I touched the nerve. Money. I touched the nerve. And he goes to me, I'll get it, I'll get it. And he's putting his hand right down the gully. And Christina goes, that's a no. Nana goes, that's no and that's naughty and smack. Christina was shocked. Oh, it was only a baby. Baby enough to have a smack. He did it again. Dylan's reaching in all the muck and the pulling out the stuff. Nana goes, that's naughty. That's smack. My daughter goes, we don't say naughty. We just say no. We don't say naughty anymore because that's not the word you use anymore, apparently, in the 21st century. I said, well, nothing's changed in kids since the day of Adam. Nothing. Anyway, the third time, this time, Nana's getting a bit louder. Shy, that's a no, whack. He cries. Sobs, actually. That's right. He went to the drain the fourth time, looked at it, then started smacking his own hand. And he'd walk around. I said, that is, Christina goes, anyway, she did. She goes, Shy, that's really naughty. I thought, I thought you didn't use that modern old English. Well, she goes, I do now. It's one of those things that you've got to realize it's in every child. Doesn't matter from the day of Adam to today. There is something inherent in them that needs correcting and chastising to be brought up in the ways of the Lord. Amen. And we might say things differently. We might use different words. We might, but it all ends up in the same result. Sometimes they just need a different type of love. Amen. So the Lord looks upon the woman and the man, but I'm mainly talking about the woman this morning, to dispense love. This love dispenses a wisdom and a knowledge from God so we can teach them the ways of God. Amen? It's not usually out of a textbook. You can't learn this stuff. Chris, I'm watching this younger generation of mums and dads, and Google's a wonderful thing. But sometimes Google is wrong. And it doesn't matter how much they tell you what. Education cannot give you the, textbook education cannot give you the life skills that the school of life can give you. Sometimes doing life, living life, and still living the life in Christ is more caught than taught. They need to see it in action. They need to see it out of your vocabulary. They need to see examples in your life. And it's all right getting knowledge out of a book. And don't get me wrong, It's good to do good at school. It's good to do what you can at school. But it will never replace the school of life. In fact, today's educational system stops teachers trying to give lessons from the school of life. Most schools now don't even know who they're talking to in gender. The first asexual person was pronounced in Australia last week. This is how bad it's getting. That he looks like a man, probably got the parts of a man, but he wants to be a woman. So don't refer him to him as a him or a her. So society is getting to a place where life lessons can no longer be implemented because society and culture are coming against you. And as Christians, more so now than ever before, there will be times where we will have to make a stand. Even in this religious bill that got knocked back not long ago, when them five people crossed the floor to stand with the other party. It will, if it doesn't get passed, even Christian schools will be affected where they will have to employ homosexual, lesbian, and teach that it's all right. Please let that sink in for a little while because you and I are the voice of the church. And it's all right to say, oh, well, you know, God's got it all in hand, God's got it all in control, but he will use you and I to bring the change. Are you with me? So they love and they dispense wisdom and understanding, mothers, not out of the textbook, but from the knocks they've received from the school of life. And that's what we're trying to teach our kids. Do that, this will happen. Been there, done that, don't go down there. Why reinvent the wheel, son, daughter? Don't touch. You touch, it will burn. You won't learn that from a textbook. You will learn that from the school of life. And most kids in the school of life don't like the teacher. Because they think they know, especially when they get around 13, 14, 15. You've got a 12-year-old that's acting like a 22-year-old. You've got a 13-year-old that thinks the... Anyway. And what happens is there can be a wrestle, even in the house. Even in Christian houses, there can be this wrestle. Anyone, any parent ever experienced the wrestle? Yeah, of course we have. But this wisdom, this understanding, this knowledge that the mother's trying to impart enables her child to stand, this is what she's looking for, to stand and understand and apply wisdom to the inevitable storms of life. They will go through things. We cannot shield them from their things. They will go through things. They will face things. And at times they will have to walk with perseverance. Some things will not get answered immediately. We can't teach our children just because they believe in God, it's going to pop up and it's all going to be well and everything's going to be fine and rosy. It is not. God is not a genie. And sometimes he will allow you to go through the stuff to get stuff out of you. And he will allow the kids to go through stuff to get stuff out of them, to make quality decisions for their life. They will have to deal with things like injustice, false accusations, fears, anger. And in those dealings, they'll have to show character, humility, love, perseverance, honor. And that's what we're trying to teach them in that hour. The school of life wants them to be taught that this too will pass. Keep your peace. This too will pass. God is with you and God is for you. But like most of us, or like the rest of us, sometimes there's a wrestle. And not just for them, but for us as parents, there's a wrestle. Sometimes we allow the boundary to be pushed a little bit further than what it should be pushed. Or we allow their vocabulary to speak things they shouldn't speak, or in the tone they shouldn't speak in. I remember my dad, and I'm harking back to the 60s now. I remember my old man was a coal miner. You don't mess with him. Short, stocky, but he had a 6-inch punch that would knock out anyone. If he heard me in any tone speak to his wife, my mum, with a bad tone, he'd grab me and say, "If I ever hear you say that again," he says, "see this bar of soap?" He said, "I'll wash your mouth out." And there was enough respect of what he said, I believe him. And he would have. He wouldn't allow any tone to be in the house. He wouldn't allow a lot of things to be in the house, being from the Northeast. And sometimes, you know, when I reflect back in my more mature years, some of the things he said to me that he taught me, I really didn't understand. Sometimes I still think that some of these little proverbs that he said were nonsensical, really. Like he'd say, I'd go up to him and I'd say this, "What do you make of this, Dad?" He'd say, 6 2/3. I said, "What are you talking about?" 6 2/3. I said, what are you trying to communicate? Talk to me. Well, I have. 6 2/3. Or if I give him a problem and I didn't understand it, if I went to him from school, and I'm talking about it when I'm 8, 9, and 10, I said, "Dad, I don't understand this. Can you help me?" He'd go, "Baker's dozen." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Go and ask your mother." I said, "What's a baker's dozen?" He says, "Don't you know what a baker's dozen is?" Well, I didn't know what a baker's dozen was. It's 13. Doesn't make sense to him. Baker's dozen. Some of the things that he would say. My mum would say things like this, "Get off your high horse." Anyone ever heard that? Yeah, I'd walk away and go, "What's a high horse?" I mean, doesn't make sense. What is a high horse? "Get off your high horse." I knew what it meant when they smacked me. "Get off your high horse, son. Tell me what it is and I'll get off." But I don't know what it is. I still don't know what a high horse really is. I know it's a form of pride, an attitude. Some of the proverbs they used to speak were really nonsensical. And sometimes it took, 6 2/3. It's the same. It's just both the same, isn't it? So why don't they just say it's just the same? Yeah, 6 2/3. But anyway, so wisdom and understanding from parents shapes the child. What I didn't know was this, as a young man at 8, 9, 10, never backchat your mum. No excuse. At all. And the bar of soap was always present. And when they spoke, you listen. Simple as that. And they instilled these virtues in my life that become principles of life, and you unknowingly hand them down to the next generation, your value system. Amen? So as mothers, specifically this morning, it says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6 and chapter 1, it says, "Obey the commandments of your father and the laws of your mother." Twice. It only says it twice in the Bible. So as the father speaks commands, yet the mother brings laws and principles in their life of love, of grace, of mercy, of affection, of communication, and all those things, they instill upon the child what is virtuous, what is right, what is good, what is not so good. I remember one day, I'm really getting out of the box now. I remember one day we used to have these hills, actually was a quarry as a kid. And there was about 15, 20 guys, and this is in England, 15, 20 guys of us used to play all the time. Yet there was this one girl. Her name was Jean Brown. Yeah, that's how much impact she's had on my life. I still remember. Jean Brown. And I said to my mum, she was the only girl in the group of the 20 guys. I said to my mum, I said, everyone likes Jean, mum. She goes, smart girl. I said, what do you mean smart girl, smart girl, smart girl? I said, everyone likes her. Yep, smart girl, very smart. I did not understand that until I got 17, 18, 19. Then I realized how smart she was. But sometimes this wisdom, this understanding that happens in life lays the foundation for the child to keep growing. It says in the book of Proverbs, a book of instruction and wisdom by a man called Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man that was and the wisest man that will be, it says. You ever thought of that? He's the wisest man that was. Wiser than Adam? Now, Adam had the capacity to name every animal on earth. And he was wiser than that. And any man that followed him, he would be wiser than them. He was the wisest before and after. He wrote Proverbs like this. I'll read 1 Kings 3 and 2 first. Behold, I have done according to your word. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that that there has not been anyone like you or before you, nor shall there anyone arise after you. 1 Kings 4, 29 and 30 says this, and God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and the largeness of heart. I only shared that with my wife this week. I said, I've never read that. He gave him the largeness of heart, like the sand of the seashore. The New Living Translation says, and knowledge as vast as the sands of the seashore. So he had wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. So much so that kings would come to him and queens to listen to what he had to say. And at any one time, they would give him 160 talents of gold just to hear his wisdom. Silver was so common, it was as if it was nothing. So rich, so vast was his prosperity because of this wisdom, that he was just blessed. Blessed. And yet Solomon, it says in the book of Proverbs 1, verse 6, 8, and 9. Want to turn to that next one, son? Proverbs 1, verse 6, 8, and 9. My son, hear the instruction of your who? Father. And do not forsake the law of your who? For they will be graceful ornaments on your head and chains around your neck. In other words, they should be weighty. They should display something. They should show what someone something of your life. 6 verse 20 to 26 says, my son, keep your father's what? Command. And do not forsake the law of your mother. Again, the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. In other words, this tying around their neck and this continually bearing upon their heart doesn't stop. It doesn't stop because they've left home. It doesn't stop because they think because they've turned 18 one day, I'm an adult. I mean, I just don't understand that. You know, 17 years, 11 months and 30 days, you're 17. And then just because you one day later from a night's sleep, you're an adult. Well, you might be legally, but are you acting like one? Bind them continually and tie them around your neck. And when you roam, they will lead you. In other words, when you're not on the path you should be. These laws, these concepts, these precepts, These laws that mothers placed in you, these commandments the fathers placed in you, or instructions is another better word for it. These instructions the fathers placed within you will lead you back. Eventually, they will lead you back. Amen. When you sleep, they will keep you, and when you wake, they will speak to you. Just like they speak to me. Even now, after these years, these decades of what I've learned, they still speak to me. I sometimes even say the same things to my own kids. My old man used to say these things. He says, there's three things that are certain in life. Three things. Death, taxes, and Newcastle will always beat Sunderland, which is a soccer team. He always used to say that. Death, taxes, and Newcastle, his team, would always beat my team for life. The commandment is a lamp. The commandment is a what? The instruction of your father is a lamp. And the law of your mother is a what? Is a light. So when mum and dad are trying to impose instruction and concepts into a child's life, it's actually trying to ignite the lamp that is within them to bring light to their situation. To keep you from the evil woman. Sorry, I'll go to 23. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the ways of life. You can't get away from reproof. Even God's reproof, it will instruct you to the ways of life. Mothers and fathers' reproof instructs you to the ways of life. The problem is, as we get older, we think we know better. Can I hear an amen to that? We think we know better. And Solomon thought he knew better. Solomon, the wisest that ever was, the wisest that ever will be, acted really stupid. All the understanding, as much as the sand of the seashore, understood concepts and wisdom and knowledge of the world. Kings would come to him. Pharaohs of Egypt would come to him. The Queen of Sheba would come to him, giving him gold and silver and boasting on his wisdom. But the wisdom of the world is no way in retrospect the wisdom of God. And sometimes the wisdom of the world will not give you what's needed from the school of life. And what happened to Solomon was tragic. Tragic. He built the temple. He did the right thing. He built the temple. David put everything aside for him. He built the temple. Looked wonderful. Looked great. God came down. God said he'll bless him. If you keep the commandments and all that, I will bless you and I will keep you. I'll provide for you. Da, 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 da. And he walked in all that. That was wonderful. That was all good. And then in chapter 3 of Kings, he did something that his mother and his father would have told him not to do. He married an Egyptian girl. And as an Israelite, he was forbidden to marry out. Did he know that? He's the wisest man in the world. Of course he knew that. He marries her to bring a treaty between his so-called enemy, and himself and the people of Israel. So he marries an Egyptian. Then all of a sudden, you will see, I think it's in chapter 11. Chapter 11, it says that he loved now many women. In fact, he loved 700 wives and 300 girlfriends. Now, he's the smartest, the wisest, the most understanding, and you might be all that, but you can still be stupid. And it said, and they turned his heart. to the seductress. He listened to more of the voice of the seductress, which is sin. He listened to more of the voice of the seductress and the temptation from the seductress than that which had been placed within him. Amen. And the whole reason we're bringing up the children and with the instructions and the laws of the mother and father is to keep him or her away from the seductress, because no one is exempt from her voice. What we're trying to impose in them is know the voice of the Father and be obedient to the voice of the Father of heaven. Listen to what your mother and your father's placed within you, and it will keep you from her. It doesn't mean you won't roam because they roamed. Doesn't mean they won't do things because they did. But that says that that word within them, that law and that principle that is written upon their hearts will turn them again. Amen. Bind them continually, for the commandment of the Lord is a lamp, the law is a light unto them. Solomon acted silly. The school of education cannot teach you these things. The school of life. See, I've said this to my kids, I've said it to my grandkids. I say this. Education is a wonderful thing. And it is. It's a wonderful thing. And if you can excel in it, excel in it. But never think that that can keep you in life. When a parent says something to a child, they're speaking out of their school of life and they're still here. They're still worshiping. They're still in the house. They're telling them, this is how I survived. This is how I've lived. And look at me, I'm still here. I'm still in my race. I haven't left my course. I am still here. And I've done it. 18, 19, I've said, you don't know what you're talking about. Anyone ever said that to a parent once? Good on you, mate. Like your honesty. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. And sometimes they didn't, to be honest. I remember one time I said to my mum, I said, I'm going to buy myself a Subaru car. She said, you don't want to buy that Jap. Beep. I said, what for? She goes, they've got alloy heads. That's what I did. I laughed. I says, oh, is that fun? I says, why is that, Mum? She goes, yeah, you don't want to buy them. She goes, this is true now. She says, you don't know. You know, she goes, you don't know what them Japs did in the Second World War. She goes, they could have a bomb in that place and we wouldn't even know it. We don't want nothing foreign. I'm talking about the 70s, 80s. I said, that's funny. I said, do you like driving your car? She said, my car's a great car. I said, what's your car? She goes, it's a Datsun. Then she goes to my dad, Jasper, where's them Datsuns come from? He goes, oh, Japan. Oh. I said, what sort of heads it got? I said, it's got an alloy head. Oh. Oh, well, they're not too bad then. Just be careful of those Subarus. It's amazing. Because they do like to be right, of course. But I didn't buy a Subaru. I bought a Mitsubishi. She goes, that's a good Australian car. That's a good Australian car. I said, whatever you say, Mum. So, Solomon wrestled with something in his life. Solomon wrestled with the principles of the law and the instruction of his father. He did some stupid things. He marries Pharaoh's daughter. He loves the women and marries 700 women, 300 girlfriends at the same time. And they turned his heart. They turned his heart. And while a child is younger, a mother influences her love and her words. And as they get older, a mother's influence is her love and her prayers. Her love and her prayers. knowing that what I've placed with them, and it's never too late to keep putting in. Here's another thing. I don't care how old they are. You can still put in. And they might be more educated than you, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to do something stupid. Hello, Solomon. We used to have this thing as kids in my school in England. Some kids were good at soccer. Soccer was a big thing in where I came from, soccer. And they say, he's a good one. Some kids were good at school work. They say, he's smarty. But sometimes there was a kid that was both good at school and good at sport. And we used to call him a Solomon. He's a Solomon. Here's a Solomon. He can just, whatever he touches, it just works. He's good at school. And most of these Solomons at school had their harems. There were all these girls following them around, you know. But the Solomons can still do stupid things. I can't let them lean upon that when inside of a mum and dad, they've passed the school of life and they've got lessons to teach that education can't. And it never, ever stops. It is continually bound in their hearts. What the child's got to remember is stay humble. There's always an opportunity to learn something from someone. So mothers, I celebrate you this morning that God has given you principles and laws, and your love for your children will surpass. A mother's love will surpass problems. A mother's love will surpass issues. A mother's love can even read when things aren't right. My old girl used to say, I've just got this sixth sense. I said, well, what about the other first five? Don't you use them? Shut up. But it's something that a mother's love can see and celebrate when the child is doing well. She's his cheer squad. But a mother is also the first one to scold him if he's on his high horse. And it's all in the name of love. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Proverbs 31:27 says this, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. A mum never stops watching. Even when they've left home, even when you're married, she'll still be watching. It's her role. It's built into her. She can't help but watch. Doesn't mean she's going to speak all the time. But I'm going to tell you one thing. She will be watching. Can I hear an amen, ladies? Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, I just ask you to bless every mother, every lady here this morning. I ask you in the name of Jesus that, Lord, through life, you will give them the wisdom and the counsel of the Holy Ghost to keep imparting every day of their life, imparting some wisdom, some jewel, some deposit from the school of life, that they might reach where we've never reached. They might attain what we've never attained. They might walk in what we've never walked in. They might know you at another level that we've never got to. Lord, we want the best for our children. So, Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus, bless what's coming out of our mouth. And Lord, bless our households. Bless our households. And give our children an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying in this hour like never before. I thank you, Father, for every woman here this morning, that they would walk out of here blessed, knowing they're appreciated, they're loved, and above all, they're honored. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to finish on this one thing. It says in 2 Peter, I think it's 3, husbands, honor your wives. Because without the honor, my prayers can be hindered. In fact, they don't get answered. But it's not just husbands, it's also children. That word honor means to give weight. And as husbands and as men, we should always ensure when our wives speak that it is given weight to, especially from the children, because it teaches them how to love and honor a woman. Because one day when they're old enough, they will have their own. And here's the dilemma. Monkey see, monkey do. Amen. So if I'm not bringing honor here, how can I expect this little one to bring honor in 20 years? Give weight. Give weight. And let honor be given. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week. Great week. Successful week in Jesus' name. Mothers, happy Mother's Day.